Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's Edible Honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of Edible Honesty, the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant.
Hey, hey, my, my, hot rockin' tomato pie. Let's get down and let's talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew. I'm your host and I am ready to rock. So let's cut right into it because today we will be readjusting almost everything you thought you knew about food. Now, in last week's Edible Adventure, we saw Andrew the Giant delve into obscure, edible legal history as we witnessed him travel through time in a phone booth to New York to the lower courts, Nix versus Hedden, to the year 1887, as Andrew partied on and remained excellent unto himself. There was an action against the tax collector of the New York Harbor, Edward Hedden, to recover back taxes paid under protest on tomatoes imported by the plaintiff John Nix. Is the tomato a fruit? If so, it remains tax-free. Or is the tomato a vegetable? If so, it's taxable, so ka-ching, yeah, baby. But wait, what's this? Foul play? In the lower court? The fix is in. And the tomato is forced to transition from a beautiful fruit to become a taxable vegetable? Yeah, baby, ka-ching. An angry plaintiff, John Nix, declared, "They say justice is blind. Well, now the world can see she is clearly deaf as well." So on Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen and Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, and of course, the most famous reindeer of all, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And with that, John Nix rode his sleigh filled with imported tomatoes and an ungodly amount of reindeer fertilizer. And he rode that sleigh without delay, while eating his curds and whey with just one pit stop in Monterey to say hey to his friend Faye. But he couldn't stay, so he rode that sleigh and all the way to appeal to the United States Supreme Court. So the question becomes, were the courts really, really, really that corrupt? Well, to answer that, I've come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum. So hang on to your edible honesty hats, because we're about to go back in time, Marty, to the year 1893, McFly, to kick some edible ass, and the best is yet to come, because the United States Supreme Court is about to be in session, and it's the fight of the century. It's Ali versus Frazier on the undercard, and it's Nix versus Hedden for the main event. So, for the thousands in attendance, and for the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Edible Honesty Studio in Edible Honesty Wonderland, let's get ready to rumble! Now, there's an old quote, and I'm paraphrasing. Two things go to infinity and beyond: the universe and judicial stupidity. And I'm not too sure about the universe. Albert Einstein. And then there's this old joke, and I'm paraphrasing. This judge goes to a psychiatrist and says, "Doc, my brother's crazy. He thinks he's a chicken." And the doctor says, "Well, why don't you turn him in?" And the judge says, "I would, but I need the eggs," which summarizes judges to a T. Apparently, they need all the eggs, or tomatoes, or pumpkins, or okra, or eggplant, or cucumbers, or pickles. Who cares what fruit it is, so long as it's taxable? So pass me a taxable pickle, Uncle Harvey. Ooh, ooh. Hear ye, hear ye. All rise. The United States Supreme Court is about to come to order. And to set the scene properly, the year is 1893, and dysentery is a top-selling soup nationwide. But before we get into the United States Supreme Court and Nix versus Hedden, let's truly get a better understanding of how in the wide, wide world of sports, Taggart, the tomato lost its classification as a fruit in the lower courts of New York in the first place. Because there is a trail of political and judicial corruption, and it's longer than Pinocchio's nose after compulsively lying for an hour straight. And it leads to everyone in New York. And the corruption in this case, Nix versus Hedden, all started the moment the tax collector, Edward Hedden, magically turned a non-taxable fruit, the tomato, into a taxable vegetable, just like Satan, who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew, cover it with chocolate, and a stuffed envelope or two. Because there were far too many people that stood to benefit the moment Edward Hedden created an additional taxable income stream, and out of nowhere, with taxable imported tomatoes. Because, and let's face it, 10% always beats 0% every time, ask anyone. And John Nix, he never stood a chance against Edward Hedden and his tax on imported tomatoes as a vegetable. Because when they walked in to the lower New York court, John Nix was saying, "Please don't tax my imported tomatoes. They're fruits." And Edward Hedden was saying, "Hey guys, if we turn these imported tomatoes, which we all know are fruits, into vegetables, then we can take a 10% tariff on every imported tomato. And therefore, we increase our income from 0 to 10. So now, does anyone in this room want to sleep on a mattress stuffed with tomato cash?" And every single judge and politician in that room agreed that a mattress stuffed with tomato cash was the best way to sleep at night. And so, in the year 1887, when Nix versus Hedden was heard in the lower court in New York, the result was already bought and paid for. And Edward Hedden was to win no matter what, because New York was run by a ruthless and corrupt political machine known worldwide as Tammany Hall. Ooh, ooh. And Tammany Hall during the 1880s was untouchable, just like Don Larson was on Monday, October 8th, in Game 5 of the 1956 World Series. And in the year 1887, in New York, Tammany Hall was like King Midas, as I was told. Everything that they touched turned to gold. Like the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and the leg breaker. Because Tammany Hall owned and controlled New York politics big time. Or let's phrase it another way. Tammany Hall blatantly paid off every single judge, politician, and policeman in New York. And the choice they gave was always simple. It was hump or death. You had 10 seconds to decide hump or death. And wouldn't you know it? Every single politician and judge and policeman in New York City all chose hump, because the new boss of Tammany Hall was a ruthless man named Richard Croker. And Boss Croker, well, he was known as a leg breaker. Now, he didn't just break your legs. He cut your liver out and ate it with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. So holy Hannibal Lecter, Batman. And under Boss Croker, Tanami Hall tossed aside all pleasantries and all business ethics, if you get my meaning. Your hammer hit my skull. No, your skull hit my hammer. And because everyone in New York was paralyzed with fear, because you only got 10 seconds to decide, hump or death, Tammany Hall literally had its hands in every single business in New York, or you simply weren't in business. And it did not matter what it was, whether it was dressmaking, horse breeding, railroad construction, or as it relates to this case, the New York Harbor and all those yummy imported tomatoes. And so we are quite clear on this one. Every single person in New York had an obligation to pay a percentage of their income to Tammany Hall, including the tax collector of the New York Harbor, Edward Heaton. And back then, people rose through the ranks by the size of their envelopes, and Edward Heaton wanted to rise. And Edward Heaton wanted his envelope of cash to be the biggest. And Edward Heaton was expected to produce or death, because the New York Harbor was the busiest port, and by far, in the United States of America. So the opportunity for Edward Heaton to deliver the biggest envelope was for the taking. But how? What else was there for him to tax? Because Edward Heaton was already taxing everything he could and then some. Edward Heaton was the named defendant in three different lawsuits for collecting a tariff paid under protest that went to the United States Supreme Court. And those three cases were just the ones from the year 1893. And believe me, where there's edible smoke, there's always an edible arsonist. And Edward Heaton was that edible arsonist. Oh, Mr. Heaton, Eddie, welcome back to the United States Supreme Court. It's nice to see you again, and so soon. See where this is going? Because if you don't, then look over there, kids. There's Big Ben, and there's Parliament. Ooh, ooh. So when Edward Heaton magically devised a way to turn a non-taxable fruit into a taxable vegetable, well, holy tomato tax Batman. And Tanami Hall already owned every single politician and judge in New York. So now, when Nix versus Hedden came to trial in the lower court of New York in 1887, well, John Nix looked angry and hopeless because he had been hemorrhaging money paying this ridiculous tomato tax under protest for the last year. Meanwhile, in the New York Halls of Justice, Edward Heaton was overheard singing, "Start spreading the news. I'm cashing in today, and I want to be a big, big part of it. Tax the tomato." And the fix is in. Edward Heaton's gonna win. It's up to you, New York, New York. Because the New York judges didn't consider any of the evidence or any of the expert testimony or even the telling lyrics to Edward Heaton's song. Because if they had, then the tomato would still legally be a fruit. So give the governor a harumph. Harumph! Because all the evidence presented to court clearly demonstrated the tomato was a fruit. And every single person testified the tomato was a fruit and definitely not a vegetable. So now imagine 1,000 people all testify the bird they saw in the sky was a stork and no one testified otherwise. All 1,000 people said stork and everybody said bird. However, after hearing those 1,000 people say the bird they saw was a stork, the court declares that the 1,000 people actually saw a fish, because a stork sometimes likes to take a dip in the water, so it must be a fish, and therefore it's no longer a bird. So pay the 10% fish tax or death. Hump or death. You have 10 seconds to decide. And that's literally what happened to the tomato. Because every single person in the court testified the tomato was a fruit. But the New York court said, I don't know. We all heard vegetable. Therefore, you're screwed, John Nix. But it beats death. And there's a real sickness and edible perversity in forcing a fruit to become a vegetable. And it's no different than forcing a bird to become a fish. Wait, you can't turn a bird into a fish. Why not? Jesus turned water into wine. And the lower courts of New York turned fruits into vegetables. Someone kept flipping a double-headed coin and said, call it in the air. And the judges in the New York lower courts kept calling every flip tails, even though the double-headed coin always lands on heads. Because justice is the means by which established injustices are sanctioned. Huh? What? Is it me? It was a double-headed coin. It could never land on tails. It did land on heads, right? It did. So then John Nix won? Well, ordinarily he would. But this was the court system in New York during the time of Tammany Hall. So he lost. Dell, why did you kiss my ear? Neil, why are you holding my hand? Wait, where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows. Well, Neil, Boss Croker says you have 10 seconds to make up your mind. Hump or death? Hump or death? Okay, all right, Dell, hump. See that Bears game last week? Yeah, hell of a game. Moon River, wider than a mile. Now, let me take a crack at this Fetzer valve. I'm going to need a set of pliers and some 30-weight ball bearings. What? What the hell do you need ball bearings for? So why did the tomato cross the road? It didn't want to be a taxable vegetable. Now, is it me? Am I on crazy pills? Or was the entire New York judicial system on the take? But you know what they say. Money is the root of all evil today. Money, it's a gas. Hey, judge, grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. New car, caviar, Cuban cigar. Hey, I know you. You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I think you're the greatest. But my dad, Ford's got time. Spencer Haywood is out there. Norm Nixon, Magic Johnson, and Kareem. 4 seconds on the clock. Ford sends it into Kareem. Skyhook up. And it's good. Lakers win. And Magic Johnson is out there celebrating like it's 1979. And they just won the NCAA championship. And that's how John Nix lost in the lower courts of New York. Or phrased another way, that was the undercard. That was Ali versus Frazier. And Ali won. So how in the wide, wide world of sports, Taggart, did John Nix lose his appeal in the United States Supreme Court? Because Nix versus Hedden should have been overturned at light speed, especially if they decided to consider any edible facts at all. Wait, no. Light speed is way too slow. Nix versus Hedden should have been overturned by the Supreme Court at ludicrous speed. But sir, the Supreme Court has never overturned anything at ludicrous speed. What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken? So, I guess the real question becomes, was the Supreme Court too chicken, Colonel Sanders, to travel at ludicrous speed and overturn the ruling of the lower courts of New York? Or did Boss Croker and Tammany Hall own and control Washington, D.C. as well as New York? Or was the clown prince of crime, the Joker, secretly controlling Tammany Hall, Boss Croker, and the United States Supreme Court? Well, hang on to your edible honesty hats and tune in for the next episode, because the Supreme Court has just been called into session and Andrew the Giant has a front row seat. And it's Knicks versus Hedden. Yeah, baby. Just like Michigan versus Ohio State. So hail to the victors valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail to Michigan, the champions of the West. And go blue, let's take home the 2021 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. And holy Glenn Rice, Batman. So that's it. That's a wrap of part three, the day the Supreme Court turned fruits into vegetables. But tune in for the next episode, the conclusion, part four, the day the Supreme Court turned fruits into vegetables. My name is Andrew. I thank you so much for listening. And to all my fans, out there in New York, go Yankees. And an enormous edible shout out to Burt Ward, the best Robin ever. And Burt has an outstanding invitation to be a guest on Edible Honesty so we can discuss food fit for a superhero. So holy Burt Ward, Batman. And I've been getting all your emails and your comments and your recipes, and thank you. And don't stop. Send me your favorite tomato recipes to info@ediblehonesty.com. And don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. And no, I'm not signed by any media outlet yet. And History Channel, Food Network, Cooking Channel, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, whoever else, I'm available, so get in contact with me and let's work out a deal and let's get Edible Honesty what it deserves, a syndicated platform. So get ready to tune in for the next episode for more Edible Honesty. Same edible time, same edible station.